This is your NFL preview show with NFL legend Eric Weddle. Presented by Cypress Credit Union with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 to The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Live here at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the keyword zone. Get 26% off that initial order. Go to BuiltBar.com. Joining us now to help break down the NFL and everything else that he feels like talking about, it is the legend himself, Eric Weddle. Eric, how you doing?
Mr. Weddle.
What's up, guys? We had a little week hiatus, and we're back better than ever, huh?
You know it. Absolutely.
Better.
How's Turkey Day at the Weddle house? Do you do the whole turkey yourself, or what's that like?
Yeah, so usually I'm in season.
Yeah.
So some of the times, whether it's a home or away game that year, my wife will either go to my in-laws or, like, for example, last year we played in Arizona Thanksgiving week. So she took the kids and met my in-laws, and we have some family in Arizona. So she spent, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way and led up to the game on Sunday and stayed out there. So sometimes I've come home after a half day's work and done that and had my parents down. Sometimes I've been alone and I take teammates out to dinner who didn't have anywhere to go. And then this past week we actually went up to Salt Lake to spend a week up there for Thanksgiving break, and we went snowboarding, and we were going to go down to my in-laws who live in New Harmony, but my mother-in-law got sick and actually got COVID. So that kind of scrapped that plan. But she's doing good. She had a couple rough nights, but she's on the come and doing really well, and which is great news. So, yeah, we it was unexpected. The night before we were going to go down there, she wasn't feeling well, and then she got tested and got it. So we went the Wednesday night and got a bunch of stuff and just had Thanksgiving at home. At our house in Salt Lake, and lived it up, and took the kids to a movie later that afternoon and just played some games with the kids. And it wasn't, like most people, it made you realize how much you are thankful for, and especially for friends and family. And the meaning of Thanksgiving is bringing everyone together and sharing those times with the people that you care most about. And that was, it was just a weird day, not being around your loved ones, and made you appreciate everything that you have and that you are blessed with, for sure.
And this is a year of first for you. This is your first Thanksgiving without the NFL. I can't wait for your first Christmas without the NFL. I mean,
oh,
what a whole new experience.
I know. I think I can count out of 13 years, I think I've been home on Christmas Day morning with the family, I think 5 of my 13 years.
So, wow.
Either was playing on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or the next day after Christmas. So it'll be a great time for sure.
Eric Weddle joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. With that said, I mean, it's got to be all kinds of different changes, all different kinds of things that you're trying to, you know, adapt to. Now that the season is just, there's only about five or six weeks left. How's it been like now that you've had, you know, a couple months to really kind of transition through this? How's it been for you?
It's been great. We were up in Utah for a couple months, and that actually gave me a lot of time to help coach Gage, and you know, being up there and seeing friends and meeting new friends and doing all that. And so that kind of took my mind off things and just let me enjoy it. And then we got back here about a month and change. And, you know, it's been good. I've gotten into routine. I wake up super early and knock out some guys. I'm doing some some scouting for the Ravens, which has been really fun. I got about 35 guys, and each morning I get one or two done in about a couple hours each player. So I get up around 5, and it's really starts my day, gives me something to get up and get motivated for. And then it leads right into waking the kids up, and I'm making breakfast and so forth. So the transition has been great, man. I haven't had emotionally tied outside of the first game, watching the Rams win and them celebrating. Outside of that moment, I haven't had any tough times per se of missing it or wanting to go or being miserable and where I'm at in my life. I just haven't had that. And it, you know, I've been lucky and fortunate for those emotions that I haven't had to deal with. Not saying it won't come, or I might experience something different, but it's really been great. I've really enjoyed every week, every game that I'm able to watch and just be a fan of the game. And man, it's not many weeks where both my teams don't win. And, yeah, you know, the Raiders, who I like, they didn't win. Indy got beat. They got slapped. So, I mean, it was, you know, I was wearing my gear for every game, and shoot, just, you know, wasn't a successful weekend for the teams that I enjoy watching. But we're on the come next week, man. This is the grind. This is the nitty-gritty. This is where the teams separate. Are you going to be a playoff team? Are you going to go win the division? Or are you going to falter and struggle and not make it? I mean, these last 5 weeks are going to – the team is going to rise up, who's going to make it, and they're going to show them what it's all about. So it's exciting. These last few weeks are going to be exciting football for sure.
All right, Eric, I want to put you out on the field last night on that Baltimore Ravens defense. It's fourth down.
That's crazy.
Fourth down. You got to get that stop. The Steelers go for it, and you're looking down the line. You're seeing that ball. You saw where the knee came down. You're thinking that thing is going to be Ravens possession with a few seconds left to see if you can make something happen. How do you deal with that emotion? How do you deal with that moment where you're going through reviews and the officials come out and it goes Steelers' way? How do you deal with all that emotion?
Oh, gosh. It's like you're fighting. I mean, they were – talk about a Herculean effort from the entire Ravens team, and especially that defense, you know, with guys down, not practicing all week, and having a couple walkthroughs and then having to go out there and play. And to be able to have a chance, I mean, the belief and the fight and the grit and the, you know, the emotional highs and lows of that game. I mean, you can go just four plays earlier and they have that third and 10, Ben lobs that ball over the middle, and Chuck just literally, if he is maybe 6 inches to the right or left off his break and angle, he's able to break that ball up or maybe go pick it. But since the angle that he took and where the flight of the ball is, he couldn't get over the shoulder of the guy to go make a play on the ball. I mean, you're talking about inches. You're talking about milliseconds of if he steps or explodes or generates enough speed in one direction that therefore he makes that play. Now you're getting the ball back with 2-plus minutes and have a chance to go win the game. I mean, the rush of emotions. You still feel like you're watching the game. You put yourself in the moment. You feel like you're still emotionally tied a little bit to the team and the guys. I still know all of them, so you're wanting them to make those plays, and it doesn't. And you know you've been in that story. I've been in those moments where I've lost a game at the end of the game under a minute to go to the playoffs on a blown coverage, and watching the guy run in the end zone as you're chasing him, understanding most likely your season's done off one play, and everything you work for, everything, all the countless hours, the workouts, the meetings, everything is down the drain because your ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl is gone. So it's tough. It's tough to overcome that. You just hope that I'm sure, you know, if any team and organization can overcome the emotional highs and lows, they'll get right back in it. And they got 5 games left. They got to go 4-1 to make it. And their schedule is favorable, but they can't let this loss linger. They've had a tough 4 or 5 game stretch, and they got to get back to playing Raven football.
Where does Big Ben rank with some of the best quarterbacks that you played up against?
Oh man, you know he's you know me and Ben are really close, and he's one of the few guys over the course of my career that we've created a friendship, and it's grown over the years. And there's nothing like you put into a friendship and an effort, and it's reciprocated, where they call you back or they text you back. You know, they're always there. Even when we were playing, we'd reach out throughout the year and be there for each other, obviously, in the off seasons. And even now, I think our relationship has gone even closer just now that I'm a guy that he could confide in, and I'm there for him. And on top of that, just being an amazing quarterback in this league for such a long time and coming back from that injury. And the biggest thing I could say about Ben and what separates him from the other quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks that I've gone against, is he's such a big human being, and the way he extends plays. I don't think there's anybody outside of the young guns that are doing it with Russell and Patrick. But before that, like, there's no one that could extend a play by moving around and shrugging guys off and then just make a huge completion, just put a knife in the back of a defense when you're playing so well, and then he just makes a miraculous play. I mean, he's done it over and over, and I've been on the field where he gets in rhythms and he gets in those modes where there's nothing you can do. He's just gonna complete balls. He's gonna thread the needle, and you know, he's been one of the best quarterbacks for a long, long time, and it's great to see him having such success this year. You know, the top team in the league right now. I mean, you can argue other teams, but they're 11-0 and maybe the most complete team in the league.
You know, you bring that up because up until Russ, I don't know if there's a quarterback that's been more, you know, rip your heart out on third down more than Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, I can go back to my San Diego days in the playoffs and just making some crazy throw, crazy play on the, you know, on his heels, getting thrown down, dragged down by 2 D linemen, and still finds a way to throw the ball down and check the ball and get it to a guy. I mean, then they make some ridiculous play on third down, and you're just like, man, we've been fighting all game, and he makes the play. I mean, he's done it for so many years. And, I mean, like you said, I mean, to rip your heart out, gosh, he's done it so many times. And it's why he's a Hall of Fame eventually, one of these days, whenever he decides to hang him up, first ballot, babe.
Eric, take me into the mind of a safety now, playing against Ben, and let's say you've got, you know, a D tackle that hits him in the legs and a DN that's, you know, getting in free, and as a safety, you're standing back with the best vision of what's happening. How often does your mind start to relax just for that split second thing, and, oh, this is going down, and then what's the thought process when you see him scramble out of that, and do you quickly check your positioning? What do you do? Do you look behind you? As a safety, what's it like seeing a dude shake off a couple of guys that you think's going down?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, what we would over the years of playing against them, by the second half of my career, when we played against Ben, and we knew those extended plays would happen as a safety, what we were told and coached, and what we just, you know, decided the best thing to do in those situations is, as you're a deep safety, whether in the post or half, and you know, you feel like he's going down, you kind of settle and you figure out what's going on. They are taught to go vertical once he breaks the pocket or gets out of those plays where you think he's down and he somehow gets out of them, that we would just turn and run vertical. Like, literally, wherever you were on the field, just turn and start running vertical for at least 3-4 steps and see what's happening from there, because those were the plays that were going over your head when he would extend those plays and shake off a sack. I mean, they were going deep. All the receivers were taught to just turn up and get vertical and go deep. So that's what we were told, and that's what somewhat helped in some situations to just turn and run for a few steps, because most likely that's where the ball is going to end up going.
Eric Weddle joining us here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We'll take our first break, come back, talk more with Eric about the NFL, what he expects to see throughout this final stretch run of the National Football League. Brenna's hanging out with us. We're live here at Built Bar. Sorry, I didn't mean to snag you mid-drink there, Brenna. But so many great opportunities and so many flavors. You know, every now and then you think you got to handle hands on the flavors. They throw something else at us, like this apple almond crisp.
Right?
I mean, just out of nowhere.
That's the other amazing thing about this, Scotty, the Built Bar options. A lot of times at the protein bar, you get three options. Neither one of them, none of them are good.
And you just kind of power through it, plug your nose. But these 18 amazing flavors, they come out with really cool, you know, holiday flavors, exclusive limited time flavors like we had over Black Friday. But, yeah, I was just going through my mix box and I was like, wait, I haven't tried apple almond crisp yet. Yeah. So, yeah, I had to give that a try. And then I'm glad you guys liked it too.
It's so good. And I want people to understand that this is a treat. This is a real treat. The flavor, the textures, you know, it's a creamy milk chocolate.
Yeah.
The inside is, you know, you got some different textures, like the cherry Barcia is a slightly different texture than this apple crisp that we're eating. But it's typically a chewy, creamy center.
Yes.
That gives you, you know, a real good chew, but at the same time is really smooth and creamy.
And, like, packed with deliciousness.
And really great flavor. And a lot of these, Brenna, they have, you know, little bits and pieces of almond or coconut or raspberry.
Tell you what, that crunchy almond that I had yesterday that you brought in.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite right there.
But I also know you love the raspberry because you get little bits of the raspberry
in there. Yep.
Yeah, and I love the bits of the apple. Oh,
yeah.
It's just so cool because they're nutrient dense. So you're getting that protein with the good treat and the goodness. And you don't have to sacrifice flavor for getting a good protein for the day. So I am really loving these.
Well, right now you can get up to 26% off. It's 25%. Use promo code ZONE. They'll kick in an extra percentage. Go to BuiltBar.com, keyword ZONE, to take advantage of all those savings right now. And as Hanton said, just get that sample box. Find out what works best for you. There's a lot of great seasonal flavors available for you as well. Go to BuiltBar.com, keyword ZONE. Enjoy the flavor. And, boy, I tell you what, great stocking stuffer here.
Right? I loved that idea.
Throw a bunch of those in the stocking. You're good to go. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Joined now by Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network.
The Utes lost a ton on defense and on offense. They've had 9 turnovers, which is so un-Whittingham-like. The thing that really upsets me is this could have been a great opportunity for Cam Rising to get his feet wet because he hadn't played in college. And I think that that has the potential to not be a wasted season, but not be the development that the entire team they could have gotten.
I concur on all that. This is a team that they have all the tools to be a championship caliber team. Do not be surprised next year in the preseason poll when they get a bunch of votes to win the Pac-12 South. But it'll be fun to watch them these last couple of weeks because now they get to play spoilers with Oregon State and then, of course, against Colorado. So it'll be fun to watch Utah in the final month here.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Taking you inside the huddle, this is your NFL preview show with NFL legend Eric Weddle, presented by Cypress Credit Union with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time to check in once again with Eric Weddle. As we continue on with another week of NFL football. Hey, can you explain what happened with the Raiders? I mean, is there just some games in a 16-game schedule where it just isn't your day? Because they have no business getting blown out to the Falcons, do they?
Oh, my gosh. That game right there. Oh, I mean, you usually – I mean, outside of even the Patriots, if you seem like every year they have a that one game, but I always felt like over the course of my career, you'd always have that one game. You're hoping not more than one game, but sometimes it was two. But you would go to a game where you were confident, you were the better team, and you just end up losing, or you end up getting smacked. And that was this past week, the Raiders. I mean, they were coming off a tough loss against the Chiefs, and you were like, all right, this is a Raider team that went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. They already beat them once this season, and you're like, all right, let's take the next step. Like, let's build off that. You should have confidence. And then they just lay an egg, and they don't play well. They turn the ball over. They couldn't run the ball. And it's just an unfortunate loss. Now, Atlanta's a better team than their record, right? And they're playing better football. They got a lot of talented players. But, I mean, come on. Like, they're not going anywhere. And you, as a team, and by some of your wins this year, you guys are or think you are. So, man, it's just frustrating. You just hope at the end of the year that you look back at your schedule and you look back at the season, you miss the playoffs by one game, and you look at yourself, you're like, man, you know, that was a game that we shouldn't have lost. And that's what happened last year. We ended up 9-7, and there are four games, you know, you got Seattle Thursday night. We missed a field goal to win the game. You know, I can go on and on. There were like four games where we don't pull those games out that we should have won. And instead of at 9-7, you should have been 10-6, 11-5, maybe even 12-4, and you're not. And now you don't have a shot at the Super Bowl. So you just hope those games don't come back to bite you like they do every year. And if they do, then you have no one to fault but yourself.
Well, let me tell you who can beat the Falcons. Taysom Hill and the New Orleans Saints 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a chance to hear from you the week that Taysom gets nominated the starter. They didn't go with Famous Jameis. They went with Taysom. Now we got a couple of games as him as a starter. Give me your thoughts here, Eric.
Yeah, that was an impressive game. And we both talked about it outside of the show of us wanting to see him and giving him the opportunity. If he is the guy of the future, give him the chance. And it was exciting. I mean, they moved him around. He ran the ball a bunch. He was efficient at quarterback. Didn't really have to press the issue and didn't really have to drive the ball. But he did make some throws on some play action, some balls up the field, a nice corner route. He had a nice, like, 15-yard stop route off hard play action and shown that he could drive the ball down the field. So it was an impressive showing, and we all liked it. I don't think he played as well last week. I think he'd be the first one to say it. And playing that way, you will not be able to play quarterback in this league. So, but you're going to have that. I mean, it's only the second start, and the more reps he gets, the more practice time and the experiences that he gets in the league, he's only going to make him better. So it was exciting. It was fun to watch. I mean, he's definitely a guy that's dynamic and with an amazing offensive-minded coach that could put him in spots to be successful. So we'll see how he looks this week coming off a really good performance his first time and then backing up the second week. Defenses are going to get film on him. They're going to find out tendencies, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't like, what throws he's good at, what it throws he's not good at, and then try to make him make those throws in the game. So we're going to find out. But, man, talk about coming on the scene your first game as a starter in the NFL, and to play that way was fun to watch.
I hesitate bringing this up because I know you enjoyed it a great deal, but imagine playing a game with no practice time with a practice squad wide receiver being upgraded to quarterback with a day's notice.
I mean, what are we doing? How about that? And how about the NFL? Like, so what you're saying is, you know, because they asked to have the quarterback coach. I don't know the name or who he was, but they asked if he could, if they could sign him and let him play. And they said, no. It's like, wait, hold on. I could sign a guy off the streets, but why can't I sign the guy that knows the offense and knows everything and, you know, why? What's the deal? I don't really know why they wouldn't let that happen. And instead, you know, they had to go with the guy that they went with, and it's just unfortunate. I mean, it shows, one, how important a starter is, let alone the backup and third stringer. But, you know, all of them are gone. Now you're forced to play with an athlete who I don't even know any background of the kid that played. But, wow, I mean, how unfortunate is that?
He had not played quarterback since his freshman year at Wake Forest in 2017. Even they transitioned him to wide receiver.
It must not have been very good.
No, he was not. And you know, look, if it's the Patriots, let's wait a week and let's get you healthy and let's do everything you can. If it's Lamar, hey, let's wait until long as we possibly can, and even then we'll let some of your other backups play. But no, if it's the Broncos, you know, you have to play and find a way to make it work.
I mean, are we saying the NFL is a little biased? I mean,
100%.
Are we throwing that out there?
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, what was hard is, you know, you're watching this Kendall Hinton run around, and you're watching him attempt to throw a ball. He, by the way, he was 1 of 9 with 2 interceptions. That's a rough day for a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, I can guarantee you I can complete more balls that in an NFL game. I can guarantee you that.
Hey,
so,
every now and then they let you sling it at Utah.
Yeah. Listen, I know defenses, I know coverages, I know looks, I know where the ball needs to go. And a 1 for 9, 2, I mean, come on. I mean, but that just tells you that they had nobody else, and that's bad. That's sad.
It is. It's absolutely bonkers. I guess if there was ever a time that Colin Kaepernick could have slipped back in the league, this would have been it.
And that was it. Holy smokes. I'm wondering if he got a call.
I wonder if he did get a call. It is kind of maddening when you're watching a team deplete of quarterbacks.
Well, and I was reading up on it, because of COVID restrictions, there wasn't enough time to get him eligible because he had to sit out for a week or so.
Were they entertaining it?
I don't know if they entertained it or not, but, nah. But even if they wanted
I don't think John Elway's a Kaepernick guy.
No, he's not.
I think that's been documented.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to throw this at you, Eric, because I don't remember ever thinking about it. But, you know, right now the New York Giants are leading their division at a paltry 4-7. When you're in the league and you're playing in the league, do you look at the divisions and think, man, this is a joke, this has to be reorganized? Or do you like that you win your division, you get postseason opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you pay attention to it too much, because you're farming your own land, as the old adage goes. You're not worried about everyone else. The minute you start focused on everybody else and their deficiencies, then they creep into your game and you start stinking it up and losing. So I don't know much thought goes around the league. I just know if from my experience that those things happen, and I was on a team that was 4-8. And we had to go 4-0 the last 4 games to win our division. Denver had to go 1-3.
And what happened?
We ended up playing here. Sunday Night Football, I think, was there. And we ended up blowing them out, of course. And we win the division. And then we get a home game at 8-8. We earned our way in there, right? We didn't play very well throughout the season, but we got hot. And then we end up beating the Indianapolis team, who was, I think, 11-5 or 12-4. And I think that year Tennessee went 13-3 and actually won the division. So they had to come to our place as a 5 seed, and we end up beating them. So you never know. You never know the playoffs, and you win the division. If they win the division at 6-10, 7-9, it's an anomaly. I mean, that's happened once. It's going to happen one time out of, you know, how many years has football been around? 50-plus years, the NFL, even before that. So, you know, I think it gives incentive to each division to go win your division, win those division games. And, it's an anomaly. It doesn't happen very often. I think we have the most – I think 8-8's been the – or what did Philly win last year? Did they get to 8-8 or were they 7-9? I can't remember, but – I don't think it needs to be changed. I think they added another playoff spot, so that gives them an extra team in there. And look, go win your division, right? That's always been the case. Go win your division. That's the easiest way to get in the playoffs. You don't have to worry about anything else, and you don't have to worry about the wild card, so go do it. So I don't think change needs to happen. And for those divisions, every so often there's not really a clear-cut team above there, everyone else, and they're all not very good. Well, we'll see what happens, because a lot of times those teams beat whoever they have in the playoffs, and because they get overlooked, or they have to make excuses. We shouldn't be traveling. We shouldn't be playing a 7-9, 8-8 Seattle Seahawks as the Saints come in there, and we end up getting blown out. Like, those are just excuses. Just go play the game.
Denver was 8-5. All they had to do was win one out of their final three games that year.
Yeah, baby. And we got them.
Hey, I do know this. As soon as they lost their – I think they lost to Buffalo was the game before San Diego. And as soon as they lost that game, I'm like, there's no way they're –
I think we played a road game before – can you guys still hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I think we were playing Jacksonville. I could be wrong, but we were on our way home. We had just won week 15 to get to 7-8, and we were on the flight back, and we were watching the updates of the Denver game, like on the track, because we couldn't watch them on TV. And we were just, and once that notice came that they had lost, we literally celebrated and partied. Because we knew we were going to blow them out.
Yeah.
Because as you guys, if you guys can remember early on, that was the Ed Hockley.
Yep. The fumble.
They called. Yes.
The Jay Cutler. Yep.
Yes. And we were just like, what is going on right now? But that, the whole thing, we knew we were the better team. And long story short, but I vividly remember us watching the ticker. And seeing them lose, it was just like, oh, my gosh, we got this. They're not going to know what hit them. They crumbled under the pressure. They couldn't win one out of the last three games, and we ended up getting them. I think that – I mean, what was the score of that game? I'm sure you remember.
I'm trying to pull it up right now. I think you guys may have broken 50 in the game.
I mean, it was
bad.
50-something to 24, 27. It was a nice showing to end the season.
52-21. Yep.
Yep, that's close.
Scotty can remember it very clearly.
I do remember that Ed Hockley game, though. Yeah, you guys got screwed in that one, too. I do remember that. All right, we'll final segment with Eric Weddle coming up next. Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Number one.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network. NFL seasons, six Pro Bowls, and one radio show. This is your NFL preview show with Eric Weddle, presented by Cypress Credit Union with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, final segment with Eric Weddle right here on the Zone Sports Network. Hans and I were just talking a little bit more about that season that we were referencing. Can you believe that was 2008, Eric? That was 12 years ago.
Yep, 2008.
I can't believe it, man. That time is just flying. That's incredible. Eric, I really want to, in just the last couple of questions that we have an opportunity to ask you. So Pittsburgh has five games remaining. They've got Washington at home this weekend. Then they're at Bills, at Bengals. Then Colts at home and at Browns to finish the regular season. Does Pittsburgh finish the season undefeated?
I think in each of those games, they'll be favored. I don't think they go 16-0, and that might be the best thing going for them. You know, I talked to Ben last night, and he was obviously frustrated with their performance, and I just think that, you know, 16-0 is all great, and at the end of the day, it's whatever. What's gonna help you play your best ball when the playoffs come around, and you know, the momentum. Are you playing good football? Sorry, my girls are doing gymnastics in the front room. Are they going to be able to? They've played a lot of close games this year, obviously, and won in the last play. And, you know, last night's performance, it is a rivalry game, and they had, you know, a lot of distractions this week. So you got to remember all that stuff. So I don't know, a lot of it depends on Kansas City, too. If they end up dropping another game before then, I for sure think they'll get rested. But then you got to take into account that 18th week, right, and then a first-round bye. So now you're talking about your team's going to almost take 1, 2, 3, almost 4 weeks off of live action. I don't know if that's a great recipe to keep the momentum going. So there's a lot of factors going 16-0. I remember New England went 16-0. My rookie year, we played them early in the season, got blown out, and then ended up playing in the AFC Championship game. And they were a juggernaut that year, and we took them down the wire. We just we picked Tom off three times, and the difference of the game was red zone offense. We were 0-for-5 with 5 field goals, and I think we lost 23-15 or something like that, and that was the difference in the ball game. But they go 16-0. Put all that effort in, they end up losing the Super Bowl. So does anyone really remember their 16-0, or would they remember a 15-1 and they won the Super Bowl? You know, so I don't know. That's a definite decision for Tomlin. I just think, you know, I think one of those games they may drop. And I'll be pulling for them, but I think they may drop one of those coming home.
Yeah. And I agree with you, too. I think the pressure of undefeated, I don't know if it's something that's a really terrible thing if they drop a game somewhere along the line. Because that's a heavy weight to carry into the playoffs, I've got to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, the closest I got, we were 2-3, and then we ran off 11 in a row 2009. And that was just kind of like we were just rolling, everything went our way, and then obviously we lost the Jets in the second round after our bye. We just, you know, they were a good team that year. Our offense just struggled with their defense, but it's just you gotta have the heartbeat of your team, and that's where a head coach who is a upper echelon coach makes those decisions and understands what his team needs. And are they able to keep that mental focus? Are they can keep that drive? It's hard to do that every game, the mental draining every week of trying to keep that streak going and keep the focus and everything that entails, because one bounce of the ball one way or the other, and then, you know, the loss, if a loss does happen, it refocuses you. It kind of like, you know, relieves that some pressure of some guys. You know, some guys can't handle the pressure, and you want them to not think about that stuff, not have as less things to worry and think about, and have that lean on the players that can handle it. But when it mounts and question week after week, questions keep talking about 16-0, it'll amount to a lot of guys. And so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, how they continue to play. I mean, losing Bud Dupree is going to be a huge loss for them. Man, having a great year. Unfortunate being in a franchise tag season. He was playing probably his best of his career and now gets injured and obviously won't see the amount of money in contract that he would have, which is always why players want to get what they deserve as early as possible, because it could be gone in one play.
Yeah. Eric, always appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and we'll do it again next week.
Thank you so much,
yeah.
Eric.
Good to see you guys.
Miss You're always you, great.
And,
thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Very soon.
The best out there, Eric Weddle, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Brent is with us once again. We're live here at Built Bar, and tell you what, I love the fact that you're hooking people up during the holiday season. 25% off. We'll bump it up to 26% if you were use the word promo code Zone. And I mean, there's so many great flavors, so many great opportunities,
so many great products too. We were talking last week about Built Go, and I loved that you tried it before your workout.
Yep.
I want you to tell, what was your experience with that, kind of with the pre-workout?
Well, first of all, the Built Go is, it's kind of a gel, but it's kind of a honey, smooth honey gel.
Yeah.
And so it's got a nice texture. Good flavor. I think, what is there, three different flavors?
Yeah, what flavor did you have? There's the peanut butter honey.
I had the peanut butter honey.
Okay.
And I've had the brownie mint.
Yep, the mint brownie, and then like coconut chocolate.
And the coconut
the
chocolate.
The third one.
So they're all good flavors, but what's nice is it just kind of fills the belly, gives you that energy, but you can feel the punch of the caffeine.
Yeah.
I just don't know how many things I've ever eaten that had caffeine and protein
yeah.
packed in together.
Yeah, I loved that it kind of replaced the need of having to have your protein shake and your energy drink.
Yeah.
You could just have it in one.
Quick gel pack.
Exactly. So I loved that you used it as a pre-workout too.
And now I do. I was using it as kind of an hour after or 2 hours to hit the hunger craving and to boost my energy for the day. But it really is kind of a nice boost before you go into the weight room.
Oh, yeah, I love it because there's 100 milligrams of caffeine in it.
Yeah.
So
that'll get you
it's
going.
Really,
that'll
it'll
get you
really
going.
Get you to break through that wall if you have one.
Yeah, it's delicious. You know, I just want to really emphasize to people that this is a protein bar that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
This is a protein bar that your wife, your kids, your family will enjoy.
Yeah.
This isn't something you choke down and you're like, well, I need something and I don't want these hunger pains and I'm going to just fight through this protein bar that I paid too much for.
Right.
Don't do that. Get this amazing.
There's a better way.
There is. There's a delicious way. These are delicious flavors, and
yeah.
these are delicious bars. Whether it's the Cherry Barcia that was my favorite before, white chocolate, or it's Scotty's favorite, whatever it is, you'll love these bars.
Yeah.
To make it happen, all you have to do is go to builtbar.com, use the promo code ZONE at checkout, and you can get 26% off right here on the Zone Sports Network.